Matthew chapter number 28. Good to have a family here in the back. I know you guys. I've met you before. What is your name? King family. Where have I met you before? Have I met you? Are you sure? Really? Your son looks very familiar. Have I met you before? Where have I met you at? Huh? Super Sword of the Lord. That's where it was. Okay. All right. I was trying to figure it out during the service. My brain couldn't figure it out. There we go. Thanks for telling me. Good to have you here with us tonight. I'm glad you're here. Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 19. I was at a family's house years ago, and they invited us over for dinner. And after we left, the husband noticed that the spoon was missing from where I was sitting. And the husband looked at his wife and said, "Did he steal our spoon? Like, what in the world?" And it bothered him and his wife for a year. Then they invited us back over to dinner a year later, and they said, "We got to ask. We've been wondering this for a while." They said, "Did you steal our spoon?" And I said, "No, I put it in your Bible." That was the Waltons. Oh, man, come on. He was all, "Yeah, wait, what?" Matthew chapter number 28, verse number 19. Matthew 28:19 says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Now turn over to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter number 14. Go to verse number 21. Luke 14, verse 21. Go to the middle of the verse where it says, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed, and the halt and the blind." Go to verse number 23. Where it says, "Go out into the" where? What does it say there? I can't hear you. What? "Highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled." Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord, thanks so much for your word. Thanks so much for scripture, Lord. Thank you for clearly pointing things out for us that we don't ever have to wonder what you were trying to get across to us or what you were trying to say, Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to be able to get to serve you at church, Lord, an opportunity to be able to get to be a part of seeing lives change, seeing sinners saved, Lord, and get to come and be a part of this life, the Christian life, Lord. Lord, I pray we can learn something we've already learned before, but just a reminder that will help us. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. You can see here in these verses that it says a lot of go, a lot of go, go, go. It's not just saying go drive down the road or go to the grocery store. It's saying go and win some souls. So tonight I want to preach a message, let's go get them. Let's go get them. That's an EM, brother, just in case you're wondering to put that in. Go get M, right, brother? That's good, all right? Not them, go get them, all right? Good English there for you. Let's go get them. There's souls out there all over the place. The God has called you, God has called me to go get. You've heard this 100 times, 1,000 times, but we need to be reminded about it right now. You say, "Why right now, brother?" Well, there's something very important coming up. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, the reminder of Jesus Christ being risen from the grave and living up in heaven. He's alive today. Amen. We need people in church this Sunday. There's an opportunity for people to come to church a lot. A better chance someone coming to church on this Sunday than just about any other Sunday. But they won't come if someone won't come tell them. And people, churches in our community that don't go out and tell anybody about church, they usually don't have new people come to their church very often. Their Easter service is not very full. But the church that is obeying God's command of "go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them, go out quickly in the streets and lanes of the city, go out into the highways and the hedges and compel them." Church that's doing that, people will come. People will get saved. But we've got to be busy. I said earlier, I'm thankful for those this week. Man, we had a good week. I heard a lot of new bus riders came on the buses today. One of the boys that won
for the high school. He beat Max, I think, right? He beat Max, Ian. He first time ever coming to church on from Sullivan. Is that right? Is it from Sullivan? From Sullivan. First time ever coming to church, he got a $20 gift card. I said, man, divine appointment, my man. You cannot miss coming to church. I'm telling my brother. I'm telling my sister about this. I said, are you going to grow up and be a chicken farmer? He said, probably. Probably. He's just seeing the future already, man. I went back and looked at the video. I said, that wasn't even that fast. How did he get first? I don't know. Somehow, someone was gracious to him and he got first place. But thank you for those who sacrificed this week. If you went soul-winning once, twice, three times this week, you know what you sacrificed? You sacrificed some time. You sacrificed some energy. I guarantee you, those of you that went out this past week, you had a thought, I don't know if I want to go. I know I planned to go, but maybe you gave into that. Maybe you gave into that this past week and just said, you know what? I got to take care of this, got to take care of this. And you didn't go. But maybe you convinced yourself to go. Maybe you obeyed God's command. I think this week we've got God given us, pastors laid out 5 weeks. We're now through the first one. God's given us a pastor who's given us a vision, a spring campaign, 5 weeks. What is the 5 weeks for? Just to have fun? Yeah, we're going to a carnival. Let's just go have fun. No, it's a way to draw people in. You may not need it to come to church. You'll be in church the week after the campaign's over. You'll say, I'm a Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night Christian. Praise the Lord for that. But there's many around this area that are not that. They don't come to church. They don't even come to church on a Sunday morning. They rarely come to church. We ran into a man yesterday who used to go to church. He lived up in Terre Haute, moved down here. He's an old man. And him and his wife moved in the country in Hymera area. And super nice man. Been through cancer and just, he doesn't talk to anybody. He doesn't go anywhere. He just stays there at his place. And he was loving our company. And we said, we haven't been to church. And, you know, we haven't found a church here in 5 years to go to. We've gone to a few, but we just didn't feel at home, any of them. We said, hey, come to our church. We'll make you feel at home. And he said, you know, we spent, I don't know, Brother Tony, where are you at? We spent, I'm looking over here. I forget. Now you're over here. We spent, amen. It's the first brother, amen, Brother Morris said tonight. Well, we were at this man's house for a good 15 minutes. Man, we could have stayed there an hour, and he would have loved it because of the company. He just said, thank you so much. Nobody ever, it was literally down a dirt road and a gravel. I mean, it was like, to get there, I was glad we had a truck type of an area. And I'm thankful for people that are going out. You know what? We knocked on those doors in that little section right there. We knocked on 3 doors. And they said, you know what? I know somebody at that church that's invited me before. And I keep thinking about going, but then I just keep talking myself out of it. And we said, what's their name? Oh, it was Josh something. I said, Davis? And they said, yeah, Josh Davis. All three of them remembered your name. It was almost like 3 neighbors in a row. There might have been one in between them, not too far from where you guys live. And but thank God for seeds that are planted. That's why we keep going out. Because you may not get that person to come, but when someone else keeps coming, we all keep going. And we're all, as a family, a church family, doing what God commanded us to do. And we're reaching them. They will come. They will get saved. Dr. A.B. Simpson wrote this famous poem. He said, 100,000 souls a day are passing one by one in Christless guilt and gloom. Without one ray of hope or light, with future dark as endless night, they're passing to their doom. We must remember 160,000 people dying today. That's a lot of people. 160,000. How many are in Terre Haute? That's like 4 Terre Hautes, roughly, somewhere in there. The size of Terre Haute, that's how many people passed away today. Wondering how many of them heard the gospel. 68 million people a year pass away. 68 million. We had a few of those in our own church this year. People are passing away. People are passing away, and people are more busy with the things that they want to do rather than compelled to go and give out the gospel. I heard about a football game that was being played, and the home team was getting smashed, getting smeared by the opposing team. And every time they'd run the ball up the middle, boy, they would just get smashed, tackled. And the team kept shouting out, the home team, the crowd, shouting out, give the ball to Calhoun! Give the ball to Calhoun! And boy, they did another play, and man, just got smashed in the backfield, lost a few yards. Give the ball to Calhoun! Give the ball to Calhoun! Another play, and they didn't give the ball to Calhoun. And the boy rushed up, and just everyone just tackled him, made a pile. Crowd, give the ball to Calhoun! Finally, this happened three or four times. And one of the players on the home team was at the bottom of that pile, stood up and looked at the crowd and says, Calhoun don't want the ball! He doesn't want the ball! I'm afraid that's true of a lot of Christians. We don't want the ball of evangelism. We don't want the ball to get busy serving the Lord. It's needed. Preachers are preaching it over and over. But we say, not this week. Next week, talked this morning about the devil's favorite tool, procrastination. Oh, he loves it when the preacher preaches a message and it's convicting and you hear it and you think, man, I need to do that. I need to take care of that. But then you find a way to procrastinate. Devil feels like his mission was completed. He doesn't mind you sitting in the pew. He minds when you do something with what you hear in that pew. He could care less if you come to church. He cares less if you come here and you're making a difference in your own life and you're making a difference in other people's lives. That's when he starts to get worried. That's when he starts to interfere. I'm afraid many Christians are falling into modernism. We're falling into this trap of just American Christianity. Revivals are out the window. Revivals are feeling like they're extinct. We can't have revival, it seems like, anymore. It's what the average preacher thinks, the average pastor thinks. People aren't as on fire as they used to be. People aren't as on fire at Blessed Hope like they used to be. Is that the mentality? Are we just going to keep talking like that? Is that the spirit we're going to create at our church? Is that the mindset that we're going to have? I hope not. But modernism is the next step down on the cycle. Logic and reasoning then begin to replace scriptural teaching and doctrinal exhortation that usually results in the uprise of radical theology. Everyone seems to feel God must have died. That is followed by riot and revolution, the burning of cities, shooting policemen, smashing some store windows, and marching in mobs down the streets usually shake up the remaining remnant of Christians who go back to the prayer closet and seek God's face. Have we seen some of that in our country? You say, oh, I've never seen it. Well, you haven't turned on the news, seen a video, never heard nothing? Our world has been crazy. Wild things going on. It's because God is not a part of many lives. Christians are more satisfied with just living a Christian life rather than going and reaching others, telling others. We have less young people serving the Lord today than we did 50 years ago. Churches, man, were turning out young people that were leaving this pew, graduating, going off to Bible college, becoming missionaries, becoming preachers, becoming great church members, businessmen within the church, deacons within the church, bus drivers, and bus captains in churches. I mean, it was happening. Sunday schools at churches were on fire in America. You can read about it. There's books about it. Churches were just on fire. But today, there's less churches that are on fire. It's no one else's fault than the Christians. Not blaming this world. This world's been wicked from the day one. Go ahead and read your Bible. Read how wicked it was through these pages of Scripture. It's been wicked forever. Since earth was created, it's been bad. Real bad. That's not an excuse. It's not my excuse. Can't be our excuse. Number one tonight, very simply, thought really hard and long about this one. This was a tough one to come up with. Let's invite them. Let's invite them. If we want to make a difference, the Bible says a certain man in Luke 14:16, let a certain man made a great supper and bade many. That means invited many. Let's go get them. Boy, when we get people to come to church, when we get visitors, today we had some returning visitors. Man, thank you for those that, you know, reminded people about our church and they came today. I was glad to see some people that have come in the past and they came back today, obviously because somebody reminded them and somebody pushed them to come back to church. But you know what's important about how to get somebody to come to church and stick in a church? There's a few things. For one, we got to be friendly to them, right? We got to be friendly. We got to make them feel at home. We can't ignore them when they come here. Man, we've got to create a relationship with them. Make a connection with them. Get their phone number. Man, go out to eat with them or go to coffee with them. Find a way to make a connection with somebody so that they, all of a sudden, these empty spots in the pew, they start filling up. before long, we don't have very many empty spots because the Christians at Blessed Hope Baptist Church are serious about this. We're going out there and we're finding them, and then we're doing everything we can to keep them and disciple them and train them and get them to be servants in the house of God. But whom shall we get? Maybe the poor people like Bartimaeus, the rich people like Zacchaeus, religious people like Nicodemus, maybe the sick people like the impotent man. How about the wicked people like the woman at the well, working people like James and John who are mending their nets, political leaders like Cornelius, the social people like Lydia, and the little people like the children Jesus spoke of in Matthew 19, 14. I'm thankful for a bus ministry, amen? Thankful for a bus ministry. If you work in a bus ministry, man, go get them. Go get them. Kids aren't that hard to get to come to church, especially during a spring campaign. This is time to get them to lock in. That kid talked to from Sullivan. I got to talk to him for a few months. You come next week? Yeah, I'm coming next week. Man, he loved it. It was great. He had a good time at church because church is a happy place. At least it's supposed to be. It's a good place. It's where good things happen. It's where good people are at. The story is told of a little girl in England who came running home from church one day saying, "Mommy, Mommy, my name is in the Bible. My name is in the Bible." The mother answering the child said, "Edith, honey, your name is not in the Bible." The little girl persisted, "Yes, it is, Mother. The preacher said, 'Jesus receiveth sinners and eateth them.' It's there." Some of you are slow to get that one there. But I'm thankful. What a blessing to know that girl thought her name was in the Bible, in whatever way it was. But our name is too, and it's whosoever will. Right. Whosoever will. Are you going to go? Are you going to invite somebody? And I don't have this. I don't remember the details of the story, but I remember of a lady. I might have told it before, but a lady who just was an avid soul winner, and her health was taken away from her. She was. Everyone who knew her knew that she just everything possible to invite. And God took away her legs. She was in a wheelchair. She couldn't go out, couldn't do anything. So she decided to do is they had a phone book. So she started just calling people. And she had a Bible study there at her house and started witnessing and calling ladies up. She didn't even know. Tell them about the gospel and inviting them to church. And before long, she was having hundreds of ladies there at her house. She was having her pastor and her pastor's wife. And they got them to church and started getting people saved. And she was doing everything she could. They said from the time, if I remember right, from the time that she became crippled, the last 7 years, I believe, of her life, that she saw 1,350 souls get saved. And she didn't have legs to walk. Boy, she had a good excuse why not to go. Or so we think it's a good excuse. But she didn't use it like that. When shall we invite them? Bible says, daily in the temple and from house to house. Then again, it says in Matthew 21:28, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." In another place, in 2 Corinthians, it says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Clement Stone, may have heard of him, the famous multimillionaire who edits the Success magazine, wrote an article years ago called "Do It Now." He pointed out that the sales world was losing billions of dollars because of procrastination by salesmen. He recommended that through a process of, I don't even know how to say this word, but I'm going to go for it, psychobernetics, men could repeat out loud every morning, do it now, 50 times, and at night, say it again, 50 times more. After a week or 10 days, the little phrase would be so embedded in the subconscious mind that it would go against the grain to put anything off that needed to get done. I think we can apply that to us as Christians. So, oh, Brother Nichols, we've heard preaching on that so many times. Are you going? Are you listening? Are you doing it? Why does God keep putting it on our pastor's heart? Why did he preach a message like he preached a few weeks ago in Operation Occupation? He said, boy, that was hard. That was mean. It was needed. We had more people sign up this year for Operation Occupation than we did last year. Amen. That's moving in a good direction. We need more. We don't need less. We need more. We need to reach our community. Christians could profit from that mindset tremendously. Let's invite them. Number two, let's instruct them. Let's instruct them. Jesus said, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. After inviting people, we must then instruct them. Right. There are basically only two messages in the Bible. First is for sinners and deals with how to go to heaven. And the second is for saints and deals with how to be happy. Being happy, of course, involves helping other people get to heaven. Helping other people get to heaven. You say, I'm looking for how to get, I'm depressed. Go start witnessing to people and see what happens. Start giving the gospel, see what happens. I don't go soul winning. I didn't go soul winning yesterday with Brother Tony and Brother Chuck. Did you walk away from that depressed, Brother Chuck? Come on, brother, right? We almost had someone get saved at one of the last doors. Someone almost got saved. It was this close. Funny story I got to tell about this. You knew I was telling it. Started laughing. I've got a video if you want to see it. But Brother Tony went with me and Brother Chuck, and he said, so silent partner, I've heard about this before. And he was just like, you know, what all entails with a silent partner? So I'm kind of instructing him what a silent partner does. And I said, and another thing, a silent partner can do is while the other person's talking to somebody, maybe about the gospel or something, if there's some dogs, around, a dog or something, try to keep it a little distracted and pet it, or if there's some kids, entertain them or something, while whatever distractions you can, try to, keep them from interfering with the gospel. Okay, all right. So we were three of us going together, and so we were kind of taking turns. Two would go to a door, and we didn't want to have three of us going to a door. So one would sit in the vehicle. Well, on this one particular door, I sat in the vehicle, and they both went out. So I'm sitting there in the vehicle, and we're in his truck, and it's got tinted windows, really, so you can't see inside. So I'm just sitting there just in the back seat, and all of a sudden, Brother Chuck starts talking to this young 19-year-old boy, roughly somewhere in there, and all of a sudden, two Dalmatian dogs just come running out. And I mean, Brother Tony leans down to pet them. And right as he leans down to pet, they jumped on top of him. And he falls backwards into this chair. And I'm like dying in the vehicle laughing. And I'm not kidding you, 25, 30 seconds, they are on top of him. And he's just like, everything he can to get his ground back. And I'm like grabbing my phone out to get video of this. And I was like, this guy is the greatest silent partner I've ever seen. I mean, these Dalmatians were so hyper. It was comical. I'm recording the whole thing, just dying laughing. It went on for 10 to 15 minutes, and these dogs just jumping all over. And he's like, come here, boy, come here, come here. And it's just like the whole time, I could tell he keeps looking at Brother Chuck, are you praying yet? Like, what's going on? These things are wearing me out. Oh, man, that was a good memory right there. Good. I had to get that on video. That was good. So if you want to see it, just let me know and I'll get you that. But let's instruct them. Let's help people learn how to become better Christians when they come to church. Be a friend to them and encourage them. We admit that there is a great void of Bible knowledge in our day. There's a great void of it in our community. People think they know the Bible, but they really don't. They may know a few things from it. It's amazing some of the stuff people will spurt out at you when you go soul winning or knock on doors. You talk to them and they'll try to tell you something about the Bible. And you're like, that's not from the Bible. Like, well, that's not from the Bible. I remember one preacher, an older preacher when I was younger, said, we're getting ignoranter and ignoranter. Ain't that the truth? I'm getting good at this English today, brother. Brother Nathan loves it when I say these ones. Or those ones, it just makes him so happy. It doesn't get on his nerves like at all. And so I think I've said those words more since I've lived here than in my entire life because I know it just bugs him. And so I almost named the message, let's go get these ones, but and those ones. Oh, man. Number three tonight, let's inspire them. Let's inspire them. There's a need for Christians to be alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. You hear that song, I'm alive, alert, awake, enthusiastic. That should represent you as a Christian when you come to church. I'm alive, alert. You say, wow, I'm going through something tough. Don't matter. Come to church. Leave that at home. Don't come to church like that. Come to church excited. Come to church ready to serve the Lord. Come to church ready to be a blessing to somebody else. Years ago when I was I worked for a little summer in Nebraska. I won't tell the whole story about why I was there, but I was working in Nebraska and going through some small towns and stuff. And while I was there, I saw a little tiny, this town probably had less than 500 people. It was very small. And there was one main little street. It made Jasonville look like a big town, big city. It was really, really small. And you drive through it in less than 5 seconds. But there was a little restaurant there, and they had a sign that said, there's no place anywhere near this place like this place, so this must be the place. You know what I said? I got to go try this place. Like, I got to go see if what that, that sign makes me want to go there. And man, sure enough, I went in there. I got to say, the food wasn't great, but the people made it awesome. They were friendly. I wanted to go back just because of how nice the people were. I was only passing through, but I thought, good night. They didn't have a good product, but boy, they just made it seem like it was great. I think of us as a church, we got a good product. We got something that's everlasting, that fills us up, that we can do something with, that makes us happy, that helps us to continue, help us not to quit. I'm thankful for that. And this is a place. There's no place to me anywhere near this place like this place, and it is the place. I hope that's your mentality at our church. Number four, let's involve them. Let's involve them. How many of you work on a bus route? Raise your hand if you work on a bus route. How many of you like it when somebody who doesn't work on your bus comes and goes visiting on your bus? Raise your hand if you like that, all right? Good, okay. About all the same hands. Raise. We like help, amen. We like help. We're never going to say no. Let's involve them. There are a lot of things at Blessville Baptist Church that we can help people learn how to be involved. Once people are invited to come to church, they get saved. The way that they stick is when they get to be involved, when they get to be a part of this, when they get to be here and it's not just a click and you're just a visitor. No, when they get to come be a part of this and what we're doing for eternity's sake. A pastor tells a story of how when him and his wife first got saved and they first started coming to church, and when he first started coming to church, they came one Sunday, and the pastor preached a message. He didn't get convicted during the preaching. But after the message, the pastor was saying, for our Sunday school class, he said, for the adult Sunday school class, we really need somebody to volunteer to help with making the coffee in the morning. Is there anybody that could do that? Nobody volunteered. So next week went by. 3 weeks went by, and after the third week, this guy was like, why is nobody volunteering to make the coffee? Like, come on now. Why is nobody volunteering? And then all of a sudden, boom. Wait a second. Are you talking to me? He said he felt like, okay. And he said, for a second, I thought, wait a second. No, it's not me. The word came out of his mouth, but it was probably for this guy over here. So he's like, I was in the way. So he said, I tried to convince myself that was for this guy. And so I'm turning around, looking at the guy behind me like, hey, man, volunteer for the coffee. And this guy's looking at me, why are you looking at me, you know? And he's like, I'm trying to find every which way to get out of this. And the Lord's like, you're not getting out of this one. You don't do nothing at your church. You can make coffee. And boy, he's just like, oh, man. And he's just kind of sweating bullets, like, I don't want to do nothing. And finally, he said, all right. So the service got over, and his wife's looking at him like, had no idea what was going on. And she said, what is wrong with you? She could tell he was just flustered about something. He said, I think the Lord wants us to make the coffee. She said, you think I'm dumb? He wants you to make the coffee. He said, I'm not a barista. I need you to help me. She said, fine, I'll help you. Let's go talk to the lady that, and get signed up. So they go back there and they went and talked to the lady that was signing people up for a coffee. And they said, we'd like to make the coffee for the Sunday school class. She's like, okay, but you only come one Sunday a month. He said, well, yeah, but we can make it one Sunday a month. And she said, okay, so you can't do it every week, but you can do it one Sunday a month. They said, we will commit. We will not miss. We'll do that one Sunday a month. I'm like, all right, got to start somewhere. And so the lady said, all right, I'll sign you up. So she signed him up. So they found out real quick, we got to get to the church early to make coffee. It takes a long time to make coffee for a couple hundred people. So they got to the church super early and made coffee for the whole church. And then him and his wife, like, man, that was terrible coffee. I don't like that coffee. Like, let's get some better coffee. So they decided to go and buy some coffee. So they got coffee and made it. And then they said, boy, these are some cheap cups. My hands are like burning in these cups. They said, let's get them some nicer cups. So they went to the store, bought some cups, got some nice cups there. And then they were eating biscuits every week. And they just said, these are just not good. They're like frozen biscuits. These are terrible. So they decided to make homemade biscuits. And so they decided to go get all the stuff, make homemade dishes. And then they realized they don't have napkins. They don't have napkins to be able to wipe their face when they have a biscuit on their mouth. So they bought some napkins. Before long, they didn't even realize it, but they were starting to get really involved financially in the ministry. And they started getting more invested into their church. This man says, for 3 years, we did that. One Sunday, we came to church. And he said, within that 3 years, me and my wife looked at each other and we thought, we have made more friendships and not one Sunday a month in these last 3 years than we have in the last 20 years. Why don't we go to church more often? So they started coming to church more often. You guess, you know what happened? They started realizing, boy, there's a whole lot of other things we need to volunteer for. They started hearing about soul winning. They started hearing about the bus ministry. And so they started getting involved in those things. And God started changing their life. And it all started with volunteering to make some coffee. And they got invested into their church. And before long, God called him and his wife to become a pastor. Now he's been pastoring for about 15 years. All from, I can make some coffee. I can volunteer and do that. Little did he know, because he volunteered for that, that God was eventually going to call him to become a pastor. He said, I was telling the Lord, no, I'll make coffee for the rest of my life. I don't need to become a pastor. I'm good right here. God said, no, I got something else in store for you. That was just the beginning. I just wanted to get you a little taste of what it's like to serve other people. I've got more in store for you. How awkward it must be for us, though. We invite people to church. You invite someone to church, man, they love it. They make connections with people, and they want to get involved. Boy, they talk to you, and they say, man, what are some things I can get involved in at the church? What do you do? Tell me about the bus ministry. Do you work in the bus? I keep hearing that. Do you work in the bus? How about this like soul winning thing I keep hearing? Do you do that? Not right now. I'm not doing. We'll come up with excuses. And that new convert just wants to get busy serving the Lord because they got that new energy. Right. And just say, man, I want to be all in. And we've become an Americanized Christian where we just come in church. We don't do anything else. We don't serve. We don't show up anything. We just come and we sit. You say, Brother Nichols, that's pretty harsh. I'm just reading scripture tonight. The Lord is the one who said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, not once a year. He said, daily preach the gospel. Don't put yourself in that position. Boy, if you invite someone to church, man, get them excited to keep coming so you can get them involved in the ministry you're involved in or another ministry, and you can tell them how they can get involved. Right. It's quite obvious that Satan is busy causing people to perfect the religion of church. You say, what do you mean by that? By doing the motions. Just coming and doing the motions. I can say I've fallen into that trap. There's times in my life where I realize my heart's not where it needs to be. I'm not evangelizing like I need to be. I'm not witnessing like I need to be. I'm not discipling like I need to be. I'm just doing the things that I'm supposed to do. I'm coming to church. I'm checking off all the boxes, and I'm busy, and I'm doing stuff, but I'm really not. I find moments in my life where, man, it's been a while since I've led some to the Lord. There's been some time gone by. I haven't even given the gospel. I haven't even tried. I haven't even asked somebody a question. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die? I don't like those moments in my life. Right. They're wake-up calls for me to get busy. Get busy. We have a short time on earth here before the Lord comes. My grandma says, and I'll keep saying it because I love it. She said, when you come, she's in heaven. She said, when you come, bring as many as you can with you. And that hit me hard. I can't let her down, but I can't let the Lord down. Right. After what he did on the cross, we're going to hear about the resurrected Savior next Sunday. Oh, my goodness. The least that I could do is invite somebody to an Easter Sunday. The least that I could do is open up my Bible and say, can I show you a couple verses for a couple minutes? The least that I could do is go souling with somebody else in the church or serving a bus route. That's the least that I could do. Right. Let's just go get them. Go get them. Anybody here have a $100 bill that could borrow? Anybody? You got a $100 bill. All right. Ladies? All right. Ladies? I know it's the only one he probably, Dad's like, wait a sec, you haven't paid rent this month. What's going on here? Dad's confused right now. But I'm going to tell you something. The follower of Jesus understands that they are blessed more than they can possibly imagine. The follower of Jesus realized that we deserve death that put Jesus on the cross. The follower of Jesus realizes that Christ took our place with what we deserved on the cross. He took our sin that put him there, and because of his death, his burial, and his resurrection, we have an opportunity to have eternity spent with him. But here's what you're all thinking. Why did he just steal that $100 from that kid? Or maybe you're thinking, where did he get that from? How did he have that so readily available? That's what's going through his dad's mind right now. But before the service, I gave this to him, and I said, hey, during the service, I'm going to ask you to come up and give me, I'm going to ask for a $100 bill, and I want you to come up just confidently, just give me a $100 bill. Without even, no questions, just come up to me confidently. How did he do that so easily? Because he realized it wasn't his.
Right.
He realized it wasn't his.
Yeah, that's good.
You see, when you realize that you, your talents, your abilities, your time, your energy, when you realize it's not yours, it's pretty easy to give it back to the Lord. It's pretty easy to give it to him. It's pretty easy to get busy. It's pretty easy when you're tired to just go do more for the Lord because you realize it's not mine. The gifts that I have, the talents that I have, the money that I have, the energy that I have, everything, the resources that I have, everything that I have is only mine because of him. It's his. I'll say this and I'll close. But Brother Levi, I prayed with Brother Levi the other night, and he made a statement that was really good to me. When we were praying, he said, in his prayer, he said, Lord, help us to stretch our others' muscle a little extra over the next 5 weeks that we can see many come to Christ. Man, that was good. Man, that was good. Can you just stretch your others' muscle this week, the next week? Just think of others. When you think of getting tired and you don't want to go invite someone to church, think of others. Think, if I don't go out like I said I was going to, is someone not going to get saved? Are they not going to hear about eternity? Do you have an urgency about it? I hope you do. I hope, can you give the Lord 4 weeks at least? 4 weeks of just dedication. I'm in, all out. Some of you I know have gone 4 and 5 times this past week out soul winning. That's a lot. Thank you. The Lord is happy about that. Devil's not happy about that.
Right.
He doesn't want us to go get him. Think our pastor wants us to go get him? Think we can fill up that map this year? I think there's 20 maps on there. Last year, we did 12, I believe. Is it 12? You remember 12? If we had more laborers, 20 could get done. But when there's only 10, 12, 14, 15 people doing it, out of how many are in here tonight? We need more. God called all of us. We got to get busy. Any way that we can. I understand some of you health-wise can't do it. And I'm not talking to you tonight. We need your prayers. Those of us that have the energy, the strength, and the ability to go out there and do it, boy, we need your prayers. We need you to pray for us to get out there and see some converts, see people get saved, see people come to church. But the rest of us that have that time, have that energy, we just need to go. We just need to go. Give God the next 4 weeks. Just go all out. And let's see what happens. Let's see how many visitors we get. Let's see how many people come to hear the gospel. Let's see how many people get saved because you just went. You say, I don't know how to lead someone to the Lord. That's okay. Go with somebody else. Go with somebody who knows how to do it. Learn from them. Don't hold on to that excuse for the rest of your life. I don't know what I'm doing. Or I'm a shy person. I don't like talking to people. I don't like talking to strangers. Okay? I don't like pulling up onto somebody's property. I don't like doing it. But I like telling them about the gospel. That's more important than my care, my needs or my cares or my uncomfortableness, because the gospel is important. Let's have that mentality. 4 weeks. Give the Lord, just think the next 4 weeks and see what happens. See what happens in your own life. I guarantee you, if you'll just give the God the next 4 weeks going all out, I think it'll keep going. I think the rest of this year, you're going to say, you know what? That was fun. Man, I want to do that some more. That was exciting. Man, that person came to church because I got to go to their door. I knocked on the door. You know what's going to happen too? I've seen so many times when God's people are just out zoning. Man, we're knocking on doors. Sometimes we don't see anybody come from the door. We knocked on. All of a sudden, someone shows up. How did you get here? Did someone knock on your door? No, no one knocked on my door. Someone gave you an invitation somewhere? Someone see you at a store? No, I just decided to come. You know who sent them? God. God sees our efforts. God sees you going out zoning. And guess what? I'm going to provide someone for them. I'm going to bring them somebody. And when he brings them to church, man, we got to find a way to make sure that before they leave here, they know for sure they're going to heaven when they die. Let's pray tonight. Dear Father, Lord, simple message, nothing new preached tonight, nothing deep, Lord, just a simple truth that you've given us many times all throughout Scripture, Lord. Lord, we saw the disciples and what they did for you. We saw the life of Apostle Paul. Oh, we've had so many great examples, not only in the Bible, Lord, but we've had great examples through the years here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church that went all out for you, that went to their grave serving you, giving the gospel out as much as they could, reaching kids on the bus ministry. Lord, I pray that our next generation, those that are in high school right now, and those that are out of high school, Lord, we need our teenagers and our 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds, Lord, we need them to step up to the plate. The older people can't do what they used to do when they were younger. We need our younger generation, Lord, to step up, take more leadership. And pastor calls for things that needs to be done. He's calling for, wants to start another bus route. Needs a laborer, needs somebody to step up to the plate and say, I'll be a bus captain. I'll be a leader. I'll go find some kids and get them to come to church. Lord, we need the young generation to step up in those moments, Lord. The older generation has taught us how to do it. They've paved the way for us. It's time for us not to have any excuses, Lord. I pray that we would have the mentality to let's go get them. Lord, I pray that you'd bless our efforts during this spring campaign.